Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Happy Friday, everybody, and thanks for downloading Outspoken, the podcast that brings you the very best of our daily talk sport show. Arsenal Invincible Martin Keown join myself as Manchester United push on in Europe. Is the quadruple really on? Plus, former Newcastle midfielder Lee Boyer was in studio to look ahead to the game of the weekend when the Toon travel down to Wembley for the Carabao Cup final. Martin, yesterday we received some, John Motson received some amazing tributes from the likes of Bob Wilson, a man you know well, from Mark Lawrenson, from Clive Tilsley. It was so sad yesterday. We went on air and then we learnt of the passing of John Motson. He was 77. And this was a man that you knew well and worked with probably many times.
Well, I didn't have the honour of actually being behind the mic with him, but I definitely worked with him on many occasions. In fact, we'd came across each other from a very young age. I was doing evening training at Arsenal, and Bob Wilson used to bring a collection of commentators into the ground of an evening, and they'd run. I mean, he could have gone for a run anywhere, but they ran round the pitch at Highbury, and then you were, this is the guy off the telly. That's that really familiar voice, almost the voice of football, wasn't it?
Yes.
John Motson.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the inside, he loved being around the clubs. He was a great lover of football. And we'll be very sadly missed, Jim. He was very professional, incredibly professional. When I first started working for Football Focus, on a Monday they do a debrief, and he was there, you know, organising, talking about the programme, discussing topics. So he really went into things in massive detail. He was a man of great detail, and he brought a level of professionalism, which I think was the first of its kind. He did many, I think, was it 25 FA Cup finals, 2,500 matches, really quite remarkable. But I never quite, he was just coming out of that as I stepped into the role of co-commentator.
Amazing. As I said, Martin, so many tributes, and thank you for that, Martin, because everyone has been so touched by the passing of John. And he was one of the few who worked out the correct pronunciation of your name earlier.
Well, it was a collaboration, really, because he came and spoke to me and said, look, we're struggling with your name, to say your name. And my name is actually Keown. It's not Keown, it's Keown. And he said, that's a bit difficult. So we kind of worked it through, and I said, well, people just call me Keown, you know, because what do you think? He said, well, look, I'd like to call you a proper name, but it will be a lot more helpful for us. So we kind of worked that through. So you can, you know, I've been called that name because of John Motson.
Really?
It's not actually my name.
He was the first fella to christen you Keown.
Well, it was other people who called me, but he kind of said, no, it does not. It's going to be too tricky. These days, Jim, of course, we'd make that allowance, wouldn't we? We'd make sure we could find it. How many times are we changing the pronunciation?
Yes.
Pronunciation for various players' names.
So that's right.
But then it was probably a first, and I just was struck by his professionalism then.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, it was very sad news yesterday. The passing of John Motson, age 77. He knows how to pronounce your name, or he knew how to pronounce your name correctly. He would have no problem with Erik ten Hag either. And last night, Manchester United turned it around, Martin. I took in the second half of this. I couldn't take myself away from it. Unbelievable performance. It really was, and what a result. So they put out Barcelona after Barcelona looked to be in the driving seat in this one. is the quadruple really on? Ten Hag post-match was his usual calm self.
It's a magnificent night. So I think it's brilliant win when you can beat Barcelona 8 points ahead in La Liga, ahead of Real Madrid. And we have seen in this week Real Madrid playing. And I think then you did a magnificent performance. So we're really happy and we have to take that with us in the season. Take this with us in building extra belief that we can win big games.
Erik ten Hag, as Manchester United advance to the draw for the next round, the last 16. That's at 11 o'clock this morning. We'll tell you who United have got in the fullness of time, certainly in that hour between 11 and 12. So, Martin, where are you with this? Manchester United, they've got a chance to finish the season with multiple trophies and top four football. They're only five behind Arsenal. They could win the damn thing. Where would it rank amongst this year's great transformation stories? They are coming up in the rails.
Without doubt. It's interesting, isn't it, how quickly you can regenerate a club, isn't it? Reboot it. And, Old Trafford, the feeling of that aura is returning. The belief, the confidence in the team is there for all to see. Jim, I think Manchester United is next one is Liverpool. And, you saw Liverpool, taking a real beating in midweek, and you just see the contrast at the moment. The 2-1 now is looking like they're going to slip down. And for many years, it's been about those two clubs, isn't it? In terms of, okay, City now have come in and really dominated. But Liverpool have been brilliant for a number of years, and it's sort of escaping them at the moment. So United could just come in and take over, couldn't they, in that slot. But Arsenal responded brilliantly last week, Jim, to come back against Aston Villa. They seem fragile, Man City, at the moment. They don't seem to be able to, get the results they need. Certainly away from home, it's not been a good look for them. Although, having said that, they're again going strong, aren't they, in the Champions League, in the FA Cup. One assumes if they get it right, City, they'll put a run together and win the Premier League.
You would think so. But Martin, I think it's on for United, should they manage to keep this going. If they keep it going, they won't be far off it. Well, they could win all four.
Yeah, but Jim, there's a long, long way to go. It's interesting how the media now is prepared to say that United can win it as soon as they've put together a few runs, when Arsenal was sat at the top of the table for a long, long time and no one was really saying it. Maybe it's just this sort of feeling that it's United, and we've had it for generations where they were just so dominant.
Yeah, but you've been telling me that don't look at Arsenal as being favourites to win
the
Premier League.
Because I prefer that role. I prefer to be the team that sits on the shoulder.
Well, that's why the media haven't been. People like you say, we're not going to big up Arsenal.
Well, no,
you deliberately don't.
I don't think you find that. I think the Man United former players have been full out saying, we've heard Gary Neville say they can finish above Arsenal. Now, it'd be interesting to hear what these people are saying now.
Do you think they will?
No, I don't actually. No.
Do you think Arsenal will win the Premier League, Martin?
I'm not prepared. I think they're definitely in the running for it, Jim.
Well, we know they're in the running for it. Do you think they'll win it?
I think they're capable of winning it. And they showed me last weekend to be twice behind against Aston Villa, just moments into the game you go behind after a really tricky week for them, to bounce back in the manner that they did, to score the goals they did, to see Jorginho, Zinchenko, the real winners in the team, dragging the team over that winning line, Jim. There's a sweetness about that victory for Arsenal. And I think that would have been a wonderful journey back home from Villa Park last weekend, having particularly when they see Nottingham Forest score in the 85th minute. So lots of swings and turns in this season. But, people want to jump up and say it's going to be Manchester United. Let them do that. But let Arsenal do their talking on the pitch. But what we have got now are really, really, I mean, all credit to Manchester United and Ten Hag, how he's turned that around. It's been remarkable.
In terms of momentum, though, Martin, going into this final on Sunday, the Carabao Cup final, Manchester United, Newcastle United. Manchester United have got momentum, haven't they? At just the right time.
They have, but let's not underestimate Newcastle. And, going down to, they're still creating chances with 10 men last weekend against Liverpool. And we saw the way that Liverpool got battered by Real Madrid. Who's to know that if they didn't keep everybody on the pitch, could they have got a result there?
You find it hard to talk about Manchester United and winning trophies in the same sentence, don't you?
Probably. They were obviously the team, weren't they? The nemesis. They were our main competitors, and all respect to them. But, Jim, it's a different era now.
Yes,
And it's about, there's a real opportunity, I think, for someone to take a hold while City...
Sure.
They're not quite the team they were.
Yeah.
He keeps telling us, Pep, we've got to keep the ball because we can't run with the energy of all these other teams. Well, he's given us a clue that maybe they haven't quite got it to win it this year.
Martin, a lot of people getting in touch. They loved, as I did, I was watching you jumping about that studio at Aston Villa last weekend.
Well, I want to apologise to the Villa faithful for that, because on this particular day, I wanted the Arsenal boys to win that little bit more because of what it means and represents. The Villa can...
Do you need to apologise for it?
Well, of course, I played 135 games for Villa, so people might, you know, wonder what was going on. But my allegiance is for Villa, for Arsenal right now.
100% engagement. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
The UK government yesterday published its white paper outlining the creation of an independent regulator for the English game. We knew this was coming, and now it's arrived with us. What will it do? I'll race through it. It's going to have the power to intervene if the Premier League fails to reach a deal with the EFL over financial distribution. Long debate going on that one. It will issue annual licences for clubs in the top five divisions based on business plans proving their financial health. It will have the powers to block clubs joining breakaway leagues. You can forget the Super League. It will have tougher checks on owners and directors looking to buy clubs, such as, thank goodness, source of funding. We'll have no individuals coming in saying one thing, then doing another. It will give fans a greater say in the running of their club around heritage decisions. But fans have been involved from the start. And I would presume that that pleases this fella, Football Supporters Association Chief Executive Kevin Miles. Kevin, good morning. You give this whole thing the thumbs up, right?
Yeah, pretty much emphatically, Jim. I've adopted right from the start, and I was involved in the panel that heard all the evidence chaired by Tracy Crouch before the panel had review. I've adopted four broad brush tests for this process. Would it stop another European league breakaway? And there's a big tick against that one. Will it give fans a voice at every level of the game, particularly in their own their own clubs? Big tick for that one. Will it help prevent another Bury clubs going out of business due to dodgy owners, effectively? And there's a big tick on that one as well. And will it guarantee that there is a spread of the wealth of football so that it benefits the whole of the pyramid? And there's a big tick for that one as well. So on those four primary tests that I've adopted, and with the introduction of the regulator to make sure it all happens, then yes, it's a big, big plus for me.
I mean, it all seems very obvious to me that these things need to be introduced, Kevin, without playing it down or undermining it. Does it go far enough?
I think the key thing for me is it does seem obvious, Jim. You're absolutely right. But it seemed obvious for years.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been involved in fan representation for over a quarter of a century now. And I go back as far as the Football Task Force, if you remember, back into the late 90s. Chaired by David Miller at the time. And that was my first experience of people inquiring into the governance of football. And there's been several more carried out by Parliament and others in the meantime. And on every occasion, they have said to football, this is your last chance to get your house in order yourselves. Sort this out. And at every stage, football has said, yeah, don't worry, we've got this, we'll sort it out. And as soon as the scrutiny and the pressure goes away, they revert back to their old ways. So I'm very pleased that at this point, government has stepped in and said, you know what, you've had your chance. You have proved that you haven't been able to look after the interests of the game, and therefore we're going to go for independent regulation. This is not politicians interfering in football. This is politicians creating an independent regulator who will scrutinise against clearly set out criteria whether clubs are being well governed, whether football is being well regulated.
You see, Kevin, that flies in the face of what my old chum, Mr. Simon Jordan, would be saying if he was sitting here today. He's back on Monday. I mean, he takes a different view. Listen to this, Kev.
The idea that a regulator benefits industries is stupid. They do not. Come on now, let's look at what regulation really is. It's a political appointment made by politicians that realise that there's a groundswell of people that believe that regulation is the only way to solve the problems in football, which in part the people that suggest the problems need to be solved with the fans are the very same people screaming for their football clubs to spend more and more and more and more and more and more money. Don't you see the irony in this? We've got an FA governing body, which, what's the point of those guys now? They are the de facto regulator. Why are they in place? Because we've now bringing in a regulator from outside the sport to be able to regulate the very function that the FA should be doing in the first place. I don't think it will advance football. I don't think it does the things that people suggest it will do, which excludes the idea that no one will invest in football. But I don't think it enhanced that idea either. I don't like regulation. I don't believe in regulation.
So that was Simon's view, Kevin. David Sullivan at West Ham says the government are doing this for PR. They think it will be a PR win to be seen to back the ordinary football fan and smaller clubs, but it won't get them a single extra vote. I believe in free enterprise, not government interference. Kevin, do you not think, when you look at it, really, mate, to be honest, this is not the government, the Tories, trying to win votes?
Well, to be honest, I don't care. I mean, the idea that it's just a PR win is another way of saying this is popular. This is what people want to see. Now, that can't be a bad thing. So surely, if a lot of football fans want to see this happen, since when did that become a negative in football? It's ridiculous. What you're hearing there is the squeals of the self-interested who think that their own control and decision-making powers in football are perhaps being undermined and being replaced by objectivity and common sense. The Premier League clubs effectively have dominated decision-making in football. The Premier League has dominated control and influence over the FA over the last couple of decades. The 14 clubs are required to pass a rule in the Premier League. And those 14 clubs are now squealing because other people may have an idea about what's in the interest in the of the game rather than what's in the interest of the owners of those 14 clubs. There are clubs among the Premier League that we've talked to who actually welcome the idea of independent regulation, because what independent regulator will do, it will have set out in Parliament, in statute, which cannot easily be changed, what its parameters are, what it is seeking to achieve, what its objectives are, and how it proposes to go about that. It will be the first regulator in history which is actually required to consider what could be the unintended consequences of anything it decides. There will be guarantees in there against mission creep about it going too further. Now, for a business that's operating in that area, that provides a market certainty about what the rules are going to be for how you develop your business, which has to be a more solid basis for investment and development of a business. What you have at the moment is the rules and regulation of football are decided by the votes of your competitors and your rivals, and they will be prepared to change the rules to suit them at any stage. Now, that's not good. That's not a sound basis.
Okay, okay. Football. Kevin, I've always been meaning to ask you, what's your team?
Newcastle.
You're at Wembley on Sunday, right? Of course you are.
I certainly will be.
Okay. You live up in the northeast.
I do.
So what do you take in this? What's your take? Train companies, we now know the LNER have announced that services between Newcastle and London's King Cross will be very busy as a result of that. And this has been well covered, Kev. Trains from London's King's Cross post-match after 7 o'clock on Sunday night will be dry trains, meaning no alcohol permitted on these services. What are they doing here, Kevin? Are the train companies victimising football fans for running dry trains, or are they merely protecting everyone else?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, the trains going back to Newcastle after on Sunday evening will be largely full of football fans. They'll be very heavily booked for a week or two now. I do think it's a bit discriminatory, Jim, to be honest with you. I mean, just the fact that it's happening on the East Coast line, but not the West Coast line. So Manchester United fans will be able to drown their sorrows on the way home, but we won't be allowed to celebrate on ours. That does seem a little bit unfair to me. I'll declare a personal lack of interest. I'm not travelling back on Sunday. I'm staying down to carry on with the celebrations in London. And personally, I would probably be asleep, but it would be celebratory mood, I think. I had to admit myself a wry smile when I read the LNER press statement about that, where it said the idea of this alcohol ban is to prevent unnecessary antisocial behaviour, which sort of implies that some antisocial behaviour is necessary and required, which didn't sound quite right to me. I mean, nobody wants to see antisocial behaviour, obviously, but they wouldn't do it to anybody else.
Kevin Martin here, is it time? I've just come back from Germany. With your match day ticket, public transport's free in Germany to and through matches, which is quite a fantastic system that they've got there. And of course, they've got their 50% ownership, haven't they, with the fans. Wouldn't it be nice to see that arrive here in England?
Free travel?
Well, the travel was supplemented with the travel. And we actually, so it's a nice day out.
That'd be all right, Kevin, wouldn't it?
Well, I think there's a lot that we can learn from, you know, the match day experience in particular from German football. I mean, sadly, I think, Martin, even in Germany, that wouldn't cover me travelling the 300 miles from Tyneside to London, but it does allow you free local transport. And of course, there are, I mean, at Newcastle, you can buy something called a Magpie Mover for 25, 30 quid, which guarantees you free local travel with your season ticket for all the home games. But I do think there's a lot of things that we can look at and say, well, what could it actually improve?
Sure, sure.
There's very little cost, really, but smooth the way for fans to get the matches and enjoy it. And
Kevin, enjoy it on Sunday, my friend. I do remember you and I spoke a while back and you reminded me you're a Newcastle fan. Enjoy it. And I wish you well come Sunday. Thanks for your thoughts this morning, Kevin.
Thanks, Ash.
Thanks, Kev.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Danger. Flammable exchanges ahead. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
I'm delighted to say for the final hour today, we're joined by former Newcastle United, former Leeds United midfielder, former boss of Birmingham City of late, Lee Bowyer is in studio. Good afternoon to you, sir. How might you be?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jim. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Martin. You good?
Yes, Lee. I'm very good.
Good, good.
Lee Bowyer, do you remember Martin Keown? Martin Keown, do you remember Lee Bowyer?
Of course, they were a part. He was an important player in an emerging Leeds team. At 99 was it? 1988, 99?
Yeah, 99 through to 2002, 2003 around that time. So yeah,
good, it was good the times. Rise and fall of Leeds United.
It was. We was a young side and enthusiastic. I'd put it like that, and competitive, and we went on some good runs. So. Yeah, we challenged near the top on one or two occasions, but just fell away at the end.
Did you not halt Arsenal's title challenge, Leeds United, on a couple of occasions around that time?
Yeah, we had some good results against Arsenal, but it's not a sprint, is it? It's a marathon, and them boys always just kept marching on and took titles, you know, them and Man United. We just couldn't quite get there. We tried, but we just wasn't maybe mentally strong enough, and where it would have been new to us and not so new to them boys then, that they went on to win the title. So yeah, but it was good experience and great times, and look back on it now, and just a trophy. That's one club that I look back at and think, how did we not win anything? Like, we was a good side. We went toe-to-toe with any club. We weren't scared of anyone, but yeah, unfortunately we never won anything.
Do you think it added... all respect for David Leary, do you think it added an extra ingredient with him, particularly when those head-to-heads, him being a former player at Arsenal? Alan Smith told me then in 98, 99, that he'd said to you as players, forget the last game of the season, you're all on holiday if you win this one tonight against Arsenal. Is there truth in that?
Yeah, he could well have said that. I can't remember that far back, Martin, but what
he desperately,
I do know...
didn't he, wanted to. I see him sitting now in the... It's ironic, he sits in the boardroom every week. And how quickly he was able to change camps and be so aggressive against his old cat astonishes me.
Yeah, but George Graham started it, and obviously he came from Arsenal. He started the ball rolling. David got a lot of the praise for it, and rightly so, because he carried it on. But George,
forget that, yeah.
But George for
his
sure,
discipline.
Yeah, yeah. He
organisation was brilliant.
When I first went to Leeds, we was an okay side, you know, like a mid-table-ish side. But before George left, we was in Europe. And some of the, well, you would have worked under him, and some of the training sessions were just crazy, like man to man, like that was it. you're playing against him, you win your individual battle. It was so simple. He just stripped everything back and it improved.
And then
all.
A young manager took on, give you a bit more freedom, yeah. A bit more expression. I mean, the monies that were spent, I mean, Peter Risdale, I mean, I think it was excessive and it was out of control. I know he gave you a dream.
Yeah.
But in the club almost became bankrupt. Peter Risdale won't enjoy me saying this, but I know he took you on a journey. But, yeah. I mean, and of course, as O'Leary, as a manager, would have just said, okay, can we afford this? Can we take these? And some of the players, I mean, the Rio Ferdinand going there, wasn't he? Huge signings.
Yeah.
It seemed that Hasselbank was another one who came in. Robbie Fowler. It was endless. Viduka, another top player.
Yeah.
And we're obviously Arsenal, pretty much the same team. We lost to Nauku, lost Overmars, and we're seeing that.
Were you looking at Leeds United with envy?
No, because we thought we were better than them, but we were thinking, well, where are they getting the money from to afford to compete and buy these players?
You weren't bothered about that, Lee, right?
I think we was playing catch up, though. I think that the quality of player that you had in them times to the quality of player that we had, if you think most of our better players were our younger ones that came through the academy. Your Jonathan Woodgates, your Harry Kewells, your Ian Harts, Alan Smith, they all came through the academy. So they didn't, yeah. Which were good, but it took us time to catch up. And then you had a few good senior ones, Gary Kelly, Martin, the goalkeeper. So Harry Kewell, yeah. Another one came through, very, very good.
Yeah,
unplayable on his day. So, but we was catching up for sure.
Lee, I must be honest now, and I'm going to say this. So this morning, Mr. Keown comes in, early as he always is early, so he can do his research with us. I said, you're going to enjoy it today. It's just me and you. Simon's in Spain, no problem. And we're going to be joined from 12 onwards by Lee Boyer. Lee's coming in. Sorry, say that again. Lee Boyer's coming in. Now, of course, Martin is the consummate professional now. He's in the media. He will work alongside anyone.
Yeah.
And of course...
Where are you going with this, Jim?
give me time. And of course, Martin gets on with the job, as you do. You're quite unflinchingly, I know you well. So let me take you back. Maybe Martin was asking me, did a double take for this reason. Tell me about this game, Lee. Your version then, Martin's, 22 years ago, 2001, Arsenal against Leeds United. Ray Parler, I was talking to him about it this morning. He came off the bench in this one. Arsenal beat you 2-1 on the day. Tell me about this incident involving Mark Viduka, yourself and Martin. It wasn't seen by the referee. An alleged stamp by Mr. Keown on you.
Yeah, it something along them lines. It was, and I'll tell you, the end bit makes me laugh the most, that there was an altercation with Martin and another player, it might have been Viduka. And then I was on the floor, must have been a tackle or something. So I was on the floor, but then Martin's running back to get into position, and then he just trod on me. And so then I'm laying there, and then I stand up and I shout at him, and then he blames me. He's like, you need help, you something's wrong with you. And I'm thinking, hold on, you're the person that's just trod on me. He tried to spin the whole thing around and then blame me because he trod on me. So yeah, crazy times. But so competitive them days, Martin, wasn't it? Like, you couldn't get away with them types of things nowadays. But you want to win, we want to win, you know, that's the way it was.
And you were completely blameless.
Completely. Not many times, Jim, I can say I was blameless. but on that occasion, 100%, I was on the floor. And the game
was massively significant.
Yeah.
And I think...
Did you elbow Mark Viduka?
No, not at all. And one thing he did do, though, is he definitely punched me.
Oh, he punched you?
Yeah, but that was... You see, the thing was, it was getting so bad, in the end, the FA decided to draw a line under it and said, well, you know, we can't take it any further. But, you know,
the
FA hearing before that, I was fined £10,000. So it was kind of... And David Dean came back and said, Martin, we're going to let this one go because both clubs are guilty. So what they're going to do is draw a line under it. I said, oh, that's great, because someone's just thrown a punch. And Rio Ferdinand was saying, what'd you go down for? At the next England get-together, he said, oh, I saw it. Yeah, he definitely hit you. Mm-hmm. So he got away with one.
So you elbowed him in the face?
No,
back.
Didn't elbow him.
Didn't?
No.
But you get charged retrospectively by the FA 2 counts of violent conduct.
Well, this is when Peter Risdale then used his influence within the FA and wouldn't let it go. And I have it on good authority. That's the only reason it came back to the table, Jim.
Oh, wow.
I was allowed to play for England that summer, very conveniently, because it was important in qualification games. And then suddenly it came out from nowhere.
Do you remember, what's your version of events of stamping and Lee?
No, I don't. I was trying to get back into position, and he was in. It was in the way. So where was I to put my feet?
You were in the way. You were lying there, Lee. Yeah.
If I could have avoided him, I would have done.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have no recollection of Viduka's face meeting the point of your elbow.
No, it didn't quite happen that way.
No,
he was very. I tell you what a good player, by the way. Let's talk about how good a player, how important he was, and
let's quickly do that.
Physical, strong.
You do remember getting done for both of these. The stamp on Lee and the elbow in the face by Viduka. Not the stamp. It was.
I'd like to say that the referee, the match day referee, didn't get a yellow card for either incident.
Yeah.
And it was something, again, that Peter Risdale. Now, you have to remember how committed he was to their cause, how much money he committed. And the club were gambling on monies that were going to come from the Champions League qualification. We denied Leeds that on that very occasion. They might have stopped us winning Premier Leagues, but that was huge for them, not being in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And they set their stall out for it. And in the end, I think David Leary, you could say unfairly so, lost his job because of the pressure Risdale had put on with the spending was out of control.
I mean, I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek with both of you.
Let's get Peter Risdale on, by the way.
The thing is about both of you is that, Lee, you could play, boy. You could play, but you also were there if it got feisty, as was the man Keown. And this man could play as well. I don't think Martin's given enough credit for the fact he was a darn good footballer, albeit he could dish it out when he had to.
Yeah.
But you both had great ability. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been in such great sides.
No. And Martin played for England on a number of occasions. You don't do that unless you're a good player, especially with the amount of talent in their centre-half position in them days. So, yeah, he was...
It's interesting.
That's what you want, though, Martin, isn't it? It's like for me now, going into the coaching side, managing side, you want a man that's going to defend with their life and put their body on the line, and that's so important, and Martin brought that
but
in
your
abundance.
Team though, you know, you look back at the Leeds years, and you look back, if anyone's able, old enough to look at the Giles and Bremners and how they were tough men, weren't they?
Yeah.
They wanted to put, and Leeds, I don't know whether it's synonymous with the fans, because you know that when they're in tandem with the fans, a team that can do that, but also actually control the noise, because at the moment the team can't seem to actually be composed enough to put the ball in the back of the net, but you guys certainly had a really good balance, and people, endless list of top strikers.
Yeah. Well, you name some of them. We had Robbie Fowler at times, couldn't even start. We had Viduka, Jimmy Floyd. I think Jimmy Floyd cost about $2 million, $3 million. You know, George brought him in.
Oh, he was magnificent, wasn't he?
Unbelievable.
He went to Atletico Madrid after that.
Two powerful feet. He played with Chelsea in the end as well. Like, we had some. Robbie Keane was another striker that came and just sat on the bench.
I think
really,
it was.
Yeah.
Incredible.
No wonder they were good, Martin, when you hear these names.
Well, that's the thing. And obviously, Peter Risdale was giving them that chance, a chance to dare to dream. And maybe people will take that as long as they're back now. And it's imperative that they stay then, Jim, now in the Premier League. They can't drop out again.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
The Carabao Cup final will be Manchester United against Newcastle United. And it will be live on TalkSport.
I will give everything to perform as good as possible and to bring them hopefully across limits.
Brilliant finish from Marcus Rashford. He's come to the party. Manchester United have turned up the music.
Oh, what a goal! 2-0, Longstaff. You go to Wembley, Newcastle United.
We know 90 minutes ahead, anything can happen in football. We know how difficult the game's going to be.
They've had their goalkeeper, Nick Pope, sent off. And of course, next weekend, it is the League Cup final.
You cannot take your eyes off this for one moment. Live on TalkSport, your home of live football.
Yep, you cannot wait for this, can you? The Carabao Cup final. It's Manchester United against Newcastle United. For that, two old foes reunited here in the TalkSport studio this lunchtime. Arsenal Invincible Martin Keown is alongside Lee Bowyer, once of Leeds United, and of course, significantly in this instance, very much formerly of Newcastle United. Lee, just before we get underway, when I mentioned you were coming in, a whole bunch of Newcastle fans got on the old message boards there telling us, Lee Boyer, when's he on? They have a great affinity with you, but you have with the football club, don't you?
Yeah, because of the time I was there, it's a passionate club and I'm a passionate person, so it was a good fit. I know the type of players they want to play for their club. You give them 100%, win, lose or draw, that's all they ask for. They just want you to work hard for their shirt, and they're unbelievable. On their day, the place can be banting, you know. Very passionate fans and very, very good fans.
Newcastle's first cup final in 24 years. Can you believe that for a club of that size?
No, and in the time I was there, I think we just fell short on a couple of occasions. In Europe, we got to the semi, and in the FA Cup, we got to the semi. I think Man U, when Rooney scored that unbelievable strike from about 30 yards out, dipping volley. So, yeah, came close a couple of times, but, yeah, it's amazing that it's taken this long.
I mean, Newcastle fans will come down here with such expectation, Martin. The story there, if Newcastle can find a way of doing it, the story's huge, isn't it, in terms of its significance, new owners, momentum.
Transformational, isn't it, when you look at the last 12 months and what they've done and what they've achieved. We were sitting here saying, right, just after the window, they've bought all those players, surely they're going to turn it round, and they went on this incredible run. But where they are right now, no one would have ever believed it. They've taken a bit of a hit recently, Jim, drawing too many games, you could say now, if they're really running after the big boys, losing against Liverpool in the way they did. But I think there was a lot of credit to come out of the performance last week. So Eddie Howe's doing a tremendous job there, and they're putting together their game management is absolutely different class.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, I was doing a lot about time spent ball in play. They're very clever. And Eddie's gone away. He's looked at every, I think he went to Atletico Madrid, no surprise there. He picked up a few things, you know, look at the dark arts of the game, that time wasting, whatever. It's all part of the game, by the way, Jim. And I think they'd be well prepared. It's a real shame the goalkeeper Pope's not available.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
I kind of feel that if you're suspended, you should be suspended in that competition only. Yeah.
Well, that's right.
You shouldn't travel over into
Well, I tell you what, let's talk about it now.
I thought it used to be like that, didn't it? I thought it used to be. The FA Cup was part of the league.
Yeah.
But I thought the other cup wasn't.
So now, Pope gets sent off last weekend. He misses it. Now, whether that's right or wrong, he misses the final. And, of course, we know Dubravka is cup-tied because he played for Manchester United earlier. So he's gone. So in comes Loris Karius, we think, for Sunday. But you don't attach much significance to that, Lee. Tell me what you were saying to me earlier on.
No, the way I look at it is if the 10 players in front of him do their jobs properly, then they limit chances. And if they can do that, then it doesn't really matter who's in goal, you know. And I played in a game, I was saying to you off air, against Barcelona years ago, and Paul Robinson, it was his debut. And what a game to come into. But on that night, everything that they hit just seemed to hit him. And that can happen for goalkeepers. They just come out of the blue and they make save after save. And whether it was Pope or anybody else, they're going to have to make saves. But you're not saying, like, the goalkeeper, whoever he comes in, is a good goalkeeper.
It would be fairy tale, though, wouldn't it? Karius came in, and I mean, we all have a vision of him in our minds at Liverpool, and whether it was a bang on the head, but he had a disappointing night, Champions League, and that still sits in my mind. I don't think he's played, Jim, has he, since 2021?
No, the key question is, does it still sit in his mind?
Yeah, but it could be a fairy tale for him. So Eddie Howe's going to, it's a massive, well, has he got any other alternatives?
No,
so he's going to have to just go for it.
Yeah, and he would have been working for since that mistake that you're talking about, the mistakes that he made, that was a long, long time ago. Like, he would have made mistakes from then till now along the line. But for me, I think, yeah, just build him up.
In that Champions League game, it did seem that the hand of pressure sort of reached out and grabbed him round the throat on the night. And he wasn't. And if that happens again, they're in trouble. But, I mean, as a player, I'd be thinking, OK, we can't allow the ball. You can't have that feeling, but you will try that much harder, of course.
Yeah,
but
I mean, if you were in Newcastle's side going out on Sunday,
the psychology after that.
Yeah. What would you say to Karius, Lee, before you go out?
Go and enjoy it. Go and enjoy it and do what you can do, because he's been at Liverpool and he's been at other clubs and he's a good goalkeeper. If he wasn't a good goalkeeper, he wouldn't be where he is now. So, yes, he made a mistake years ago. He's a lot older, a lot wiser, mentally stronger from that. So for me, I like to think that if he gets the opportunity, he'll grab it and he will make saves.
Do you, when you go into those games, you've got to love it. You know, if fear comes into your body, you tremble. You've got to love it, enjoy it, embrace it, and see it as an adventure.
Well, you're in the wrong game.
Newcastle back lot are used to Pope. They're used to Nick Pope, and they have been. So that all of a sudden, and if it wasn't going to be Pope, it was going to be Dubravka, and it's not him. So they've got to rechannel their thoughts about the boy behind them. But as Lee says, as long as the 10 in front do their job, Karius might not be busy.
No, but there will
but
be
this
moments.
Is Manchester
there will
United.
Be moments when he's tested. Yeah. And there's moments, and it's about trust, isn't it? It's about trust and respect for the player. And one hopes he's now in the right place to go and do it. Only Eddie Howe knows that.
Who's it more significant for? Victory on Sunday, Lee? Ten Hag or Howe?
Well, I hope that Eddie wins and for the Newcastle fans, because it's been a long time. But Ten Hag, I think they've both done exceptionally well. In a short space of time, they've both turning their clubs around, because Man United wasn't the Man United we used to play against for a long time, since Sir Alex left. And now Eddie Howe has got this club and is moving them in the right direction. Two good managers, two good clubs with a hunger to win there. So I think it's going to be a great game, a close game, and I hope that Newcastle win, because obviously my relationship with them.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We're back on Monday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.